No such thing as a media ban. We don't have a media ban.
Ah, you do.
No, we don't.
A donkey eat and a donkey eat a pellet. There's nothing else to eat.
He was massive. Legs, ass, built. But I burst out laughing much.
Right, lads, so an absolutely huge weekend we have this weekend. We have the Munster and Leinster finals. We have two qualifiers and we have the Joe McDonagh Cup final as well on Saturday evening at 5 o'clock. So, like, I mean, thankfully they've separated the Munster final and the Leinster final. They did last year as well. I remember 2 years ago we were all giving out. Well, Cheddar was going mad on the show here because the Munster final and Leinster final were on the same day. And there was no chance to be able to go to both of these games was his giving out. Now, because of the COVID thing, you have very little chance of going to the two games, even though they're on separate days. Well, unless you're connected in RT like Brian Carroll, maybe you might get to the two of them, Brian.
No, I'm only going to one, I'm afraid, going to Leinster final now Saturday evening. So at least there's 18,000 going to it. So that's a big plus. So it's going to be hopefully a good atmosphere.
Ah, 18,000.
It does make some difference.
Yeah, it definitely does. Hurling needs that. 7,000 in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, Paddy Stapleton. Like, I mean, did you get yourself a ticket or how are they divvying those out?
Yeah, I think I'm in a bit of trouble for a ticket, and there was only a couple, 2,000 or 3,000 at the semi-final. So obviously a couple of more important people are looking for tickets for the final because I'm struggling, but might come across one by Sunday. I'd actually love to be there because even the 3,000 was so different the last day. Against Clare, it was so enjoyable. And I suppose I was listening to Liam Sheedy there. He was saying hurling is made for to have the galleries there, and he's right. You know, it really changed the whole game. So I suppose, look, it can only be for the good going forward.
In a weird way, Paddy, Páirc Uí Chaoimh probably isn't the best venue for 7,000. I'm sure there's a smaller venue, like for example the Gaelic grounds. That would be a home venue then, I suppose, for Limerick. But all of the fans in a stand would make more noise, I suppose.
I told you, if you were talking about the old Páirc Uí Chaoimh, I remember playing in it the first time I did, and it's like a bowl.
Yeah.
Now, that would have been, you know, a great facility for it. But the new one is like a mini Croke Park, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Where the noise can get lost really good when it's full. But, yeah, even, I know I played a couple of games in Páirc Uí Ring. Now, I know you're bringing it down to a smaller venue, but that's a seriously good atmosphere. We played the Munster Club final and a couple of great league matches there, and that really has that tight, intimate feel. But yeah, I suppose they're trying to reward the likes of Cork and maybe showcase the great stadiums we have. So yeah, we'll let it go for this one.
Well, that's it. Like, I'm not giving out about it, Brian, but like, I suppose if you were to look at 18,000 in O'Connor Park, well then again, I suppose you wouldn't have the capacity for the 18,000 in O'Connor Park. That's the problem. There'd be different rules. They kind of have to go to Croke Park, and that's where the 18,000 would be lost more.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, look, It is a pity that you didn't just see maybe a little bit more, 10 or 12,000 even in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. I think that could take that comfortably. Look, it's a big positive, as you said, over the last couple of weeks. You know, when I was at the Tipperary Clare game doing commentary, and, you know, 10 days out from the game, 200 were only allowed to go to it. Then it went to 500, you know, then it went to 3,000. So, like, it's great. We're gone from 3,000 now to 18,000. So, okay, maybe 7,000 in the Munster game. But it is a huge plus that we're seeing these numbers coming, because Paddy already touched on it. Hurling's a completely different game where crowds add. It's just phenomenal. And probably going back to Tony Kelly goal at halftime for Clare, like, they're pissed. You know, the Clare fans are all up on their feet. The Clare ball split off the ground afterwards, and it was just that real sense of Munster Championship at its best. And you know, you can't underestimate. And I thought Shane Dowling wrote a really good article on RTE, the news app, about adrenaline and the crowd and how players really feed off that in hurling. And I suppose it lends itself as well to, you know, probably more mistakes in hurling and, you know, a lot more pressure. And they probably don't have much intricate passing in terms of the game plan, because it can be a lot harder play that when there's a crowd maybe oohing and ahhing and gasping at mistakes or a ball. So as I said, hurling's so much better for these crowds.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. It improves the game. As if this weekend wasn't big enough then, of course, Clare have to draw Wexford in the qualifiers. Now, I saw Waterford's name come out first. I was listening to the draw live and I was saying, please pick Wexford, please be Wexford, because that's a lovely little derby itself without all the kind of nonsense going around with it. Paddy, we're over this whole Davy and Brian Lowen beef, right? Like, I mean, this feels very old now.
It does, yeah. I'd say they're sick of the sight of each other at this stage. I'd say yeah, the two most sickened people for is probably those two. Although Davey probably sometimes has a sick mentality. You would know what he likes, but yeah, the only thing he'd probably be thinking of is the win. But it probably will be Raw again. Like they're going to probably saying, look, if we'll keep apart and it's all about team and performance. But they're two very uncompromising characters. Like they obviously don't get on. And they rile each other up. I don't know how they survived one in front of the other for 15 years, but it has bubbled up over the last while. And look, I do think it'll be more about the team this time. Like they've had their joust. There's not much more they can do to each other in terms of in public and talking about each other. So I think it will be down to the hurling, and this is knockout now, so they can't be putting too much of a foot wrong in the sideline.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in part two. I don't know, Brian, like, I mean, the whole rivalry, I think they've played each other four times. They're not even in the same province between league and championship. It's 3-1 to, or 2-1 to Clare, and it probably should be 3-0. Like, I mean, the COVID thing this year, that kind of sparked it back up a little bit, Brian, when it had moved on, maybe. I suppose Davey getting the abuse from the stand in the Moor Park. There's little sprinkles being thrown on this the whole time to keep it going.
Yeah, it's such a pity because, as I said, any of us that grew up during the 90s and we, you know, we saw the relationship that Brian and Davey had, you know, Brian maybe protecting Davey inside in the goal and Davey shouting out abuse at Lairs, and it was wonderful to see. So it's such a pity to see it, you know, I suppose, end up the way it is at the moment. It's a pity they can't get over it and just move on, but it just doesn't seem to be that they're going to do that. But as you said already, I think Clare should be 3-0 up because... you know, they were so dominant in that game in Ennis in the league earlier in the year. And you know, it wasn't until the sending off that Wexford really came into the game. They scored two goals in a minute and, you know, made a huge impact in that going down the home stretch. And never looked like there was going to be only one winner, only Wexford. So I suppose this year, I suppose the added spice of it is that both teams actually are going reasonably well. You know, Wexford were very unlucky, as I said. I think they'd have beaten a lot of teams the last day, only for a talk to Kenny were so good. And I thought Clare obviously had a great win over Waterford. And, you know, the penalty had a huge bearing on that game against Tipperary. So both teams are coming into it in a bit of form. Whereas maybe last year when they played in the championship in Portlaoise, it was winter hurling for starters, but, you know, both of them were kind of stuttering along. Wexford were very poor in championship last year, and Clare were just maybe finding their feet under Brian Lowen. So I think that adds a good bit of spice to it as well. It's definitely, while we have, you know, big games at the weekend, Leinster final and the Munster final, it's probably the real standout game of this weekend.
That's on television as well, I'm pretty sure, on Saturday early enough at 2 o'clock. Before we get into the Limerick-Tipperary game, I disagree. I think this is Limerick-Tipperary is the game of the weekend. Like, this came out last Thursday and the referees, they had a meeting. Intercounty hurling referees have backed James Owen's decision to sin bin Aidan McCarthy in last Sunday's. So, like, I mean, they had some meeting last Thursday, and all the referees agreed that James Owen's made the right call. Now, isn't that a worrying thing, Paddy? Like, we're not going to get back into that incident because most people are agreeing it's not. It's very worrying. Now, I understand he's a colleague, and you're going to try and back him, yeah. And maybe their argument would be that he's taking a hard time of it, you know, and he's taking this badly. But Jesus Christ, it's not a good sign when all the referees that are going to be making these decisions have said, here, wait a minute, that's the right call.
Yeah, no, I think what you're saying there with supporting a colleague, I think they're backing up their buddy, really, which, you know, admirable enough. I suppose they've all been in that position at different times in their career where they've been the one where we've been talking about them here on a Thursday or a Monday, and it's not a nice thing, obviously, because there's only one person in black in the middle. So it is a really, really difficult place to be. Look at, I think what they're after saying is, you know, they've come out and clarified it. And to James Owen, I'm sure he said to himself, well, look, he was going through on goal. I felt it was a cynical foul inside 21. For me, that's a penalty. But now they've actually clarified it a bit further, which they should have done at the start. We talked about it at the start of the year. So that I think will really, really help. But I do think, look, if you talk to each of the referees quietly in you know, in a pub inside in the snow, they'd say, look, I probably wouldn't have given that. But look, we said it from the start of the year, but they had to go through it maybe the first couple of rounds. Very painful for the likes of Clare to go through it. But we've had to go through it. They've had to be shown. And now I hope, coming near the latter end, the knockout stage, that we'll get the right decisions at the right time. And I think they're going for the right way. I always said, it's nearly the foul decides what it should be. So if a guy takes a man out of it without any intention of playing the ball, and he's in an advantageous situation, then that means a penalty within 40 metres of goal. That's what it's there for. If there was no danger, you'd go for the ball, wouldn't you? You'd try and stop a free, you try and stop a pint. So I hope they've got it right at this stage. But I think, yeah, it was really the boys backing up each other now with that one.
All right, good stuff, lads. We'll come back and we'll talk about the big one of the weekend next. Okay, lads, so the big one this weekend, it has to be Tipperary-Limerick in Páirc Uí Chaoimh at 4:15. Paddy, Limerick are going for the first three in a row since 1936. Now, we know not much gets on top of Limerick, kind of pressure-wise. I think it hasn't been done since the late 80s when Tipperary did it. Like, I mean, I don't know, could this potentially be something where Tipperary might think that, you know, these records are not easily broken?
No, yeah, well, I suppose that's one way of putting it. They're not easily broken. But I suppose the biggest monkey that was on Limerick's back was to win an All-Ireland and even getting through their first Munster final. So I think after a couple of them and they felt that pressure, they've shown the ability to deal with it. They've shown the ability to perform at their highest on a big day. So it doesn't change just because it could be three trophies in a row or it could be your second All-Ireland in a row. I don't think that's actually going to play any factor. I couldn't see any pressure on them this weekend in that way. I just think what the biggest pressure is to put, you know, a Tipperary team who would see themselves as contenders for the All-Ireland into the Shark Bowl of the qualifiers, and then they potentially meet a Galway or whoever else might be a contender and knock each other out. So I think for them that's what it is. It's the shortest route to the All-Ireland, and at the end of the day, in 10 years time, All-Ireland is what this Limerick team is going to be judged on. Yes, Munster finals are brilliant and you'll always look back fondly on them, but All-Ireland finals for brilliant players like this, that is to be all end all.
Maybe that's the case, Brian. Like, I mean, even for someone from Munster to kind of talk about it being all about the All-Ireland, it used to be all about the Munster Championship.
Yeah, it was certainly times are changing, aren't they? Paddy won a good few himself, so he certainly knows what he's talking about. And look, obviously when you win a few provincial championships, it does become all about the All-Irelands. But I just think, I suppose from a Tipperary perspective, I think it's not necessarily about winning the Munster final, but this is about beating this Limerick team. Can they get one over on them? Because Limerick have been very dominant since John Kiley's come in, not just for Tipperary, but with everyone, I suppose, but particularly against Tipperary. And Sheedy won't like that. You know, he will want to win this game, just maybe to get the monkey off the back and for your players to know that they can actually do it. You know, I suppose if you go back to Sheedy's last big rivalry, would have been against Kilkenny when Paddy was involved himself, and they built it up. You know, the first year maybe they got a lesson, but after that they started to narrow the gap and really start to push in the right direction until they eventually beat them in that 2010 All-Ireland. So, you know, they knew the importance of really the big performances, but then backing it up with the win. Whereas I suppose this Limerick team has kept Tipperary at arm's length, and they look to have just too much for them in terms of their style, their tactics, the individual matchups, and that will hurt Tipperary, because obviously they have a lot of very experienced players, a lot of big players that have won All-Ireland themselves. So I think Tipperary will have to throw the kitchen sink at them. But there is, I think, you talk to Tipperary people out there, there is a kind of an undercurrent or fear of this Limerick team that they don't suit Tipperary in the way that they play. So I think it's a big one from Tipperary's perspective. And you know, I don't think they can afford, as a group of players either, to maybe hedge their bets and wait to see, or maybe we'll get them in the All-Ireland and beat them in that game, you know, in a straight knockout game. I think as a group of players that they'll want to win and actually try and take down this Limerick team.
Yeah, and even on that point, Paddy, the year Tipperary won the All-Ireland, like, I mean, they still got hammered by Limerick that year. You know, I don't know, like, I mean, it could be thrown at supporters at the same time, and even at the players. Look, you won the All-Ireland, but you got destroyed by Limerick that year. After the loss last year, Liam Sheedy said, overall, they outworked us, outmuscled us, and we became one-dimensional in the second half, and that was the most disappointing aspect of the game. And I suppose outworked us and outmuscled us, like Brian's saying, that's what Kilkenny did to year team, but that didn't happen the following year. Like, one feature of Tipperary was that Tipperary came and met Kilkenny head to head with that kind of work rate.
Well, that's it, and there's no way around it. You can put smoke and mirrors out there, you can try and play tricks, have little gadget plays, but at the end of the day, you want to beat a really good team, a physical team, you have to have 15 lads on the field at any one time who are going to go head to head. Now, look, sometimes you come up against a team that naturally, they are bigger and faster. If you both did the same training, they'd be bigger and faster than you. So that is an issue. But I do think Tip are in a lot more appropriate shape for playing against a Limerick than they were other years. I thought against Clare the last day, like Clare over the last few years, okay, Tip have won a couple, Clare have beaten them as well, but Clare have often made Tip look really slow, really cumbersome, and ran rings around them around the middle of the field, which I didn't think happened the last day. Yes, it was quite a tight game until the sin binning and the penalty, and then we know all about that. But I thought, in general, Tip were always there with him. They were always able to keep with their fast young players. I think that was a really, really good sign. And look, I suppose when I talk about Munster Championships for this Limerick team, I'm talking about is the fact that they've won a couple of Munsters. They've won a couple of All-Irelands. So ultimately, it is the All-Ireland is the big cherry for them. But for Tip, this is undoubtedly a huge game. You rarely turn up to an All-Ireland final having never beaten the team you're playing and just beat them on the day. That's a really, really difficult thing to do, to actually, you know, pull that rabbit out of the hat and surprise him for a full 70 minutes. And let's not forget, that happened in Limerick a couple of years ago with Kilkenny in an All-Ireland semi-final, where, you know, they did get ambushed and beaten well, and beaten very well by Kilkenny, and today they did very well to beat him. So this is huge. They want to me, like, I know Brian says they want to beat him this weekend. I think they first need to perform against them. Tipperary have not performed. Now, that's down to Limerick a lot, I feel, but they haven't performed against this Limerick team over the last few years, and that's just the fact. That's the scoreline, and that's the performances, and the as I said, the individual matchups. So that's the first thing. I mean, I think luckily for an underdog, you have the water break. So if Tip can perform up to the second or the last water break, then Liam Sheedy is there to tell him, this is how we bring it home. But under no circumstances can a Tipperary team think Sunday, geez, we go in to win this Munster final. They need to go in there, no matter what the personnel, they need to stay at the Limerick group. I think Cork, you know, the last day, you can say what you like about the match, but Cork did a lot of things right on their own puck out. They veered it so, so well. But they also seemed to mark up really, really, really tight on that powerful Limerick half forward line, nearly cornerback style. With a midfielder sitting. And I think Tip need to take a little bit of that template, but also use the players that they have up front. So I'm looking forward to, look, Tip have to perform at some stage against them. It is true, they've had the hex over in the last few years, but look, they've been well warned, and they have to stand up and be men, I suppose, this weekend as much as anything else.
I think just on the point of being out-muscled, we'll get into some of those tactical points Paddy's talking about in a second. But, like, I mean, I think, didn't he play O'Connor and Morris and a few forwards last year where they maybe were out-muscled, Brian? Like, I mean, Dan McCormack, you have Breen, you have Noel McGrath, you have Ronan Maher, Brendan Maher, Seamus Kenny. They're all in that middle third. No team should be out-muscling them.
No, they shouldn't, no. You know, and I think that's one thing. When Sheedy has Tipperary Pern, their work rate is phenomenal, you know, and they get it from everyone. You know, John McGrath, Noel McGrath, Shami Canlan's work rate can be excellent. Even Bubbles is working when he's on it. So that's what they'll be going to. And I think Paddy's hit the nail on the head there. You know, it's about a performance first and foremost. It's about this work rate, relentless work rate. And they know they're going to have to do it for 70 minutes plus. They're capable of doing it. There's no doubt about it. And but it's just, I suppose, it's getting their matchups right. You know, and you know, who marks the two half forwards? You know, who picks up Aaron Gillan? Who picks up Seamus Flanagan? You know, and I think, in fairness to them, they got the matchups right against Clare. So it will be interesting to see what way will Tipperary approach it. You know, will they allow the centre back, whether that's Seamus Kennedy or Ronan Maher, sit into the pocket and try and sweep up ball, and then maybe drop a midfielder or maybe, you know, play a two man full forward line, which allows, you know, them to come out, because maybe Willie Connors will start ahead of John McGrath this time and come out into that middle third and do some of that work. So, you know, it's interesting. You know, Tipperary surely will have to have learned from their last few experiences playing Limerick. As I said, they were out-muscled and they were out-fought, but they were also out-manoeuvred as well, and they didn't know how to deal with it. So it will be interesting to see, have they learned from it, and can they first and foremost get their matchups right, and then obviously the work rate, it's a given. I suppose we kind of expect that any top-level inter-county team out there, they're expected to work like absolute dogs for 60, 70 minutes. It shouldn't be kind of a God, their work rate was unreal. That should be a given at top level sport, not just hurling, I suppose. It's expected of this Tipperary team at the weekend. So,
Yeah, it's just an interesting, I suppose, an intriguing encounter from that perspective, because if we go to another style, maybe I thought it's maybe taken 5 years for Kilkenny to figure out Wexford style, and they finally did it, just about, but they finally did it. So I'll be interested to see now, will Liam Sheedy have figured out this, and his backroom team. I suppose you have to give a lot of credit to his very astute backroom team. You know, you've Tommy Dunn, Derry Egan, you've Owen Kelly selector, and you've Eamon O'Shea, so these are no idiots, that's for sure.
Yeah, Paddy, do they have the legs for that relentless work rate for 75 minutes?
I think if you look at it, they're going to have five subs to come on. So, you know, a third of your team will only have to have that relentless work rate for 50 minutes, yeah. 55 minutes, 60. I think they have, if you're talking about if they do, I don't know yet until we see the match Sunday. Had they the last couple of years, they didn't. Like, if you were looking at it, they didn't. They were getting ran through. Whether that's, you know, cardio, whether that's speed work, I don't know. But I've seen this year so far, I think they've kept with other teams better than they have in the last few years, in the last few seasons. So that's what I'm working off. I still think, like, I'm looking at the team there. I know John McGrath probably hasn't been playing well, even though I'm a big fan of him, so he mightn't get the start the weekend. Noel didn't play brilliant, but I still think they may move Noel up, and they may put in like an Alan Flynn around midfield. So you'd have Dan McCormack, Alan Flynn with that bit of pace. Dan McCormack showed the last day, and he has for Boris Lee. I'm lucky enough to play with him. When he plays that midfield role, he has a very, very innate ability to sit in when he's needed and cover. And I think it could work out for the better. Like, to me, what's the biggest poison you're picking with Limerick? To me, it's their half forward line. And leaving them loose around, and midfield, obviously, leaving them loose around there, you're in serious, serious damage. I prefer them to score two goals than their half forward line to dominate, because they will just pick you apart and you'll get no launch pad going forward. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Brendan Maher step right up on Keane Lynch, Ronan Maher, or even if they put Paddy out in the wing slot, they step right up on their men and trust that Dan McCormack and Alan Flynn will be able to do enough work around the middle to get back and cover any holes that are left. So it's very, very interesting to see what way they'll go. I think they do need to get up tight and see can we manage them at the back. You have Barry Heffernan is in very, very good form. I thought he played well the last day under a lot of ball coming in. And we know Barrett is in the form of his career. So I think you need to back those. Hope that Paddy, whoever goes in on Paddy, that could be a mismatch because, you know, if he's on Flanagan, if he's on Casey, they're quick players, fine. But I think if you get enough pressure out the field, then you'd hope to stop that at source.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, did Cork kind of show a way, Brian, of how to handle Limerick, where they dropped Coleman off, they had a midfielder picking up Keane Lynch, and Coleman worked as a bit of a sweeper. I was thinking that role would work perfectly for Paddy Marg, take away the responsibility of marking, let Flynn or someone in midfield pick up Keane Lynch when he drops, and let Paddy kind of, you know, do a Declan Hannan on the other side and be that kind of orchestrator, experienced leader there.
Yeah, and I think when Clare went down to 14 men, I thought he did that very well also. So he certainly has the experience. When he plays centre back, I suppose he likes to play that role himself, so there's no doubt about it, he's well able to do it. So again, that goes back to my initial point of it's just really interesting to see what will their matchup actually be. Because they will have to put a lot of thought into it. And but another thing I have to give Tipperary credit for is they thought that Bubbles would nullify John Conlon coming out from the corner forward role, you know, that withdrawn the corner forward, but it didn't work. And it wasn't until Bubbles actually went out on centre forward on John Conlon and hurled off him that they really started to nullify John Conlon's strengths down the other end. So I think Tipperary kind of a lot of work needed on their matchups beforehand, but they're very good during the game as well. But the other side of it, I suppose, we're bigging up Limerick as if they were hurling the way they were last year. They won the game comfortably the last day, but we can't say they were as impressive as they were last year. Yeah. We'd be lying if we said otherwise. You know, Gerard Hegarty was quiet for his standards. Tom Morrissey was taken off. I know Gerard was too, but that was towards the end of the game. Aaron Gallan was taken off. He was very quiet. You know, so Graham Mulcahy only, you know, not really featuring this year at all. So it's interesting to see from a Limerick perspective. They'll have to get back up to those heights. We're just assuming that this is going to be the Limerick team we saw last year, or maybe over the last couple of years, where they're, you know, they're eating everyone up in terms of their work rate and their use of the ball and their scoring. But the only thing you will say with Limerick is they're very astute too. You know, they made use of Dara Donovan as the spare man. You know, he got up and got the goal. He a lot of ball went through him. Keane Lynch did a lot of damage when he was at centre forward as well. So, you know, they're very good from that perspective. But I suppose we can't We can't big them up too much either. They have to perform because, as you said, Cork troubled them. You know, their matchup and getting Coleman free really worked. And they had a lot of opportunities themselves. I know Limerick had wide too, but as I said, I don't think Limerick were as impressive as we've seen over the last couple of years.
Could you see a situation, Paddy, where you have Paddy centre-back, Brendan Maher following Hegarty, and then you have maybe Seamus Kennedy or Ronan Maher following Tom Morrissey, and that's your half-back line, and doing that kind of thing?
You could see something like that. The only thing I think about that, where you're playing an orthodox sweeper against Limerick, is they're used to playing against that every day. They're used to, like, you see their bunching and breaking when they're in their full forward line. And some of the times when you play a sweeper against Limerick, they're null and void. They're chasing shadows. Especially Paddy mightn't cover the ground across as quickly to cut off space. So that's the only reason I'm not sure. And I think what you're doing, again, if you go with an orthodox sweeper and Brendan follows up and whoever you have, they're all similar markers in the half-back line. You're showing Limerick something they've seen before. And I think if I was Tip, I'd come with something a little different. Maybe try and squash up that middle third, get lads up, and maybe trust that you have a natural player in a Dan McCormack or a natural defender in Alan Flynn that will know the time to get back into that hole. Because, again, O'Donoghue midfield the last day, Will O'Donoghue broke through a number of times, so he's another weapon for them. So they do need somebody that will cover all the way back there. He nearly got through for a few goal chances the last day. So it is interesting. I just would like something different, which is get right up and take a bit of a chance. As Brian said, like, probably Glenn isn't hurling the way he did last year yet. But then again, we were saying this last year about Limerick. We were saying, geez, they're only performing to the standard they need to, but then in the All-Ireland, they blew them away. So we'll see. And so I still think they have it in them, but I think Tip need to come with something different than just your regular sitting in, because I think Limerick are too used to that.
I know, but like, I think, Paddy, you're pretty much saying something similar, though, like, as in Paddy or whoever centre back will follow, and you'll have a midfielder, you know, holding that maybe number six position, or, you know, to stop that burst down the middle, or potentially if Galan goes around Barrett, that you're maybe closing him off there as well.
Yeah, I just feel like that's kind of a sitting back in role. Yeah, it is that. You do need somebody coming back. And look, you know, what you really want is that your team is working so hard that you're convincing all the forward line, that you're able to dispossess them, that they're running into traffic. Like, that's what you ideally want. I think that's why I'd have Flynn and Dan McCormack playing, is that they are able to work hard enough to get in and make that 65 metre line and in towards the tip goals, like a really tough place to be and lots of bodies there. But I just think they have to do it in a different manner. I think Paddy, I'd like to see him marking somebody, to be honest. That's just what I think he would go better. I think he needs to go man-to-man on somebody, and that somebody, you know, a little bit sprightler needs to get around and then break out with that ball. They need to break forward. That's another reason I'd like to see Brendan pushing up the field, him get onto breaks and push forward himself, because we saw Cork the last day. They got a nice bit of joy by pushing forward with ball. That's the second part of how you can trouble Limerick. If you just lob balls down on top of them, they love that, like a lot of good teams. But if you can start getting the ball through the hands around midfield, running at them, then you might see a little bit more joy.
Well, like, I mean, we'll get on to the... I think both teams are going to play a two-man full forward line. That's fairly obvious. So if Cathal Barrett picks up Galan, I'll throw this to you, Brian. Tell me I'm wrong on these matchups. Cathal Barrett pick up Aaron Galan. You'll have Barry Heffernan on Flanagan. That would leave Paddy Maher and Peter Casey, which I don't think is a good match unless they move Paddy out of there.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you on that one. They might leave Cathal Barrett, I think, on Peter Casey. Better matchup. And trust that Paddy has to be able to take Seamus Flanagan. That'd be my take on it.
Yeah.
You might even see a case of Barry Heffernan might be the one to go out and grow Hegarty in terms of his size and athletic ability as well. Barry Heffernan, well able to play there. I think when he's named at four, he's usually the choice that goes out around that middle third. But Cathal Barrett's well able to do that too. Like, the last day, he followed Tony Kelly absolutely everywhere. So when Tony Kelly went out to centre forward after 10 or 15 minutes, he followed him out there. And Tip were very happy with that. And that's where they got their matchups. Perfect. You know, Brendan Maher has hurled in the full back line for Tipperary too, going back in the man marking role. So that's why it's very hard to actually envisage what these matchups are going to be, because I think Tip have to give it a lot of thought, and they have played them now three or four times. They surely have figured out what's going to suit them. I kind of would agree with Paddy. I think Paddy Maher, while he did well there against Clare, they still had 15 on 14. You know, and it suited Clare. Paddy was under a lot of pressure when Ian Galvin was marking him. He was sniped for 1-2. He was brought out to cornerback as well, which he really didn't enjoy. So, Paddy, I think it's a strange decision Tipperary to push him back into the full back line, because I don't think, apart from maybe his debut year, he hasn't been hugely comfortable there. He's been tried there on and off over the years, whereas obviously at halfback he's much more fluid. He's a warrior. He loves being in the middle of the heat of the kind of the battle. It's a strange one, but I do appreciate the point you're making, that if Tipperary can learn from Cork and what they did, can they make hay with that? But then I suppose I'm listening to Paddy, an Ireland winner, where Tipperary, they're very fluid in terms of their tactics. We'll not say that they're not naive in terms of tactics, but I suppose he's looking for maybe a bit more proactive in terms of going at Limerick and trusting the defenders that they have. If you get the matchups right and then trusting those defenders that they can actually nullify their players, and that he's looking for maybe more work rate from the half forward and the midfield in terms of crowding out that middle third, and trying to maybe hurt them from that perspective. But it does take patience. You can't lump the ball up. You got to work it through the lines, as Paddy said, and then try and play good ball inside to Shamey or whoever else is inside. And try and hurt them from that perspective, it's an interesting one. I think this is the beauty of it. We're going over and back now for maybe 10 minutes, and we're probably still none the wiser in terms of what the match is going to be. I think this is what is so intriguing about this encounter.
Yeah, no, definitely the matchups on the other side. Like, I mean, can you see, or Paddy, can you see Dan Morrissey coming back in to pick up Shamey Callanan? And Finn is most likely going to pick up whoever else is in there, and we don't know who that another will be. Probably John McGrath, unless Liam Sheedy makes a change in there.
Yeah, I can see definitely Dan Morrissey. I actually thought, I don't know, I was like a little bit too confident. You never know what's happening in training, but it's a bit overconfident leaving off your star fullback, I thought. And Richie English did okay in the league back after a cruise ship, which is brilliant, but to me wasn't setting it alight. So I thought that was a very, very strange one starting off your first game. But look, maybe it puts a pep in the step of the panel, but Morrissey, to me, I mean, there's no hope he won't be playing the next day, and either, but the only thing is that for Tip, I don't think John will start the next day, John McGrath, but they'll have Shamey Callanan in there. They'll probably have Bubbles in there. And to me, I'd have Jason Ford in there as well. And the reason there is that I think one of those can get purchased out of that full back line. I think if Jason Ford is the one being picked up by Richie English or by Nash, maybe, if he was playing Carnival, that I think, direct ball in, Jason's very strong. If Shamey gets a few good balls, he can do damage on a lot of people. So I do think if they put those three inside, that they do very well. Like, I would keep Morris out the field because he can move. I thought his work rate was way up the last day. And then you have Breen on the other side. So you have, a better balance of having a lot of quicker players out the field, and then maybe you'll have a bit more kind of finishing ability and strength inside to hopefully keep it in there if they do get ball in.
Right, but they've gone away, Paddy, from the three-man full forward line altogether, unless you're to maybe block out the middle third a little bit, unless you're thinking he might throw a rabbit out of the hat.
Well, like the last day, when I was watching, I was down at the end in the first half in right near the forward line, and Bubbles was only maybe playing, there was two inside, and Bubbles was only playing out about 30 metres. So, right. I wouldn't have called it a two inside. I called it a two and a half, maybe. What would they call it? A false 15, maybe they call it in Hurling. But it certainly would have said they had. But did they bring Willie Connors in there? And that is the other option, that they say, right, we'll play the two inside. Willie Connors will come out 40 or 50 metres. And, even if the Limerick guys get the ball in the half-back line, then we might have somebody there to try and rush them, even rush the passes, make them clear it a bit quicker. But I suppose, again, that's something to be seen. I would think what they might do is shove Noel up as a centre-forward, Noel McGrath, and play Flynn midfield. But look, I don't know. I've been wrong on most selections so far, so we'll see what they do.
Yeah, no, but I think Flynn would be suited to this game. I definitely do, for maybe dropping back or picking up, Keane Lynch. Again, Limerick have so many options. Tipperary could plan for all of this like Cork did, and then Limerick could have learned their lesson the last time, Brian, and maybe start Keane Lynch in midfield, and then Tipperary going, oh, Jesus, we didn't plan for this.
Yeah, and look, Keane Lynch has such an influence on that Limerick performances, because no matter where he is, he still is a big bear, and a lot of ball goes through him. His runs are dangerous, and he always chips in with two or three points. So he's a serious outfit. But I suppose he's an exceptional midfielder, and I'd say the only reason he's playing centre forward, he does a great job there, don't get me wrong, he's better than most people to play centre forward, but it's because obviously they just feel they're able to get William O'Donoghue and Darragh O'Donovan, both them onto the field, you know, so I suppose they look at it, it gives better balance to the team, and they can make on field changes if they see fit. So it is a strange one. Like Kyle Hayes, I suppose, going back to wing back has completely changed everything up for them, because he's offering so much in terms of his runs up the field. He's so strong, he can't put the ball down top of him, and then he's getting up the field and he's scoring a goal like he did the last day, but he's usually able to pick a point or two as well, and you have the same on the other side in terms of Dermot Byrne. So like Limerick have a lot of strengths, we know that, but as you said, it's interesting to see, will it be Dan Morrissey back inside? You'd expect it would, because look, Dan Morrissey's excellent, he just showed his versatility by the way he got to slot into full back last year. And then it'll be, I suppose, will it be between Barry Nash or Richie English being that third in that full back line? So it's interesting. I still think, you know, Limerick will be maybe amazingly going into this Munster final not happy with their performance, as I said, and they'll be looking to maybe kick on and try and really drive it home against this Tipperary team. So Tipperary are going to have to meet this fire and fire. I think Paddy kind of touched on that. If they don't meet that first and foremost, and remember the importance of the battle in that middle third at the start, Tipperary could be in for a long day.
Yeah, Kyle Hayes is nearly at the stage as a wing back now where you nearly need to be deciding who's marking him rather than the other way around. He's kind of so good going forward. Come here, Paddy, we'll leave it on this one. Is Brendan Cummins was saying, I think Tip planned for this game since the start of the league, given they've conceded the puck out so often, knowing that down the road, if they're to win anything, they'd have to beat Limerick. Now, I'm scratching my head a little bit at that. I can kind of understand, right, concede the puck out. I'll say kick out here, lads. My brain is completely thinking like that. But, right, so they'll move back a line, half a line, and they'll condense the field. And then the cornerback will be wondering, you know, right, shit, I have it. There's nothing on up in front of me. The other side of that, and I'll even use Gaelic football as an example, no team is conceding a kick out easily in Gaelic football anymore, because you're just handing possession to the opposition. And it's just interesting to see hurling managers kind of trying to figure this out. Why give Limerick a guaranteed possession instead of contesting that possession with them?
I think it's a little bit of fear, really. Just use that in the context that it is. It's not that they fear Limerick, but you look at what a team's strength is, and Limerick working the ball through the hands and committing the Tipperary forwards. Just say playing Tipperary Sunday, Tipperary commit their forwards up to close that down, and they're so good at breaking through that little army of men in the forward line that then the whole team is open, and then they'll run it right down their throat, open the space, and then you're in serious, serious trouble. Now the thing is with that, if you talk about Cork, they did it a different way. Cork have younger and faster players, and to me, you know, that's just a fact I see in front of my eyes. Not criticising, I don't think they have as good a players as Tip, but they're faster, so they could afford to come up the field, kind of put pressure on him, and if the Limerick backs got it, that they had the pace to stay with him and make it a difficult game. And Tip at the minute, you know, if you look into the full forward line, Jamie has a lot of games played, so, you know, probably not as sprightly as he was when he was younger. John McGrath played the last day, probably not, you know, hasn't huge pace. Bubble, similar. Jason Ford, similar. And if you put Noel in there, so it's just the fact that you go and commit men up the field. If they get that ball through that first or second line, you're in serious trouble. And I think that's just, to me, it's a sensible tactic. Now, what often happens is players are on the field, they have the tactic, and they expect the tactic to do the work.
Yeah.
But actually, that'll only give you the basis for your intensity to follow on with that. So it's up to Tip then, when it gets to 40 metres, when they get the ball to 40 metres, that then they close the space and bring the intensity.
There is a logic to this. There is a logic to that, Brian, and I completely understand the logic. The other logic of it is that you're giving a possession-based team free possession.
Mm. And are Tipperary bluffing then? You know, maybe they've set up this way knowing that they're going to have to play them and they're not going to hand them over at all. You know, like you just don't know. And I hate to be the devil's advocate in this one, but maybe this is exactly what they're going to do. Maybe they're going to close them down, force them to go along. But I think, having watched Tipperary up close now a couple of times this year, they gave them up against Cork as well. They would seem to be just hell-bent on making sure their half-back line and ultimately their full-back line weren't exposed with a long ball, you know, where maybe the full forward line was coming out and winning ball. you know, on the opposition. So they were definitely afraid of that. They didn't seem to mind who sat into the pocket, but they were determined that one player in the Tipperary half-back line sat into the pocket to cover that space and nullify that threat. They were constantly talking to each other, took a lot of on-field organisation to make it happen, but they were constantly making sure that everyone was picked up, and they just conceded the sharp lookouts. But I'd agree with you, Willie. I don't know is that the best thing to do against this Limerick team. As you said, they're so comfortable playing that ball through the lines. They have so many options when they do that, and I just think it'd be madness. It would take something huge from this Tipperary team to try and nullify that, and turn forcing that to break down or turn them over, maybe when it gets to around between the 45 and 65. It's very hard to see how that would work. And I probably, going back to what Paddy was talking about, we're doing something different, I'd nearly be like them, trusting your back line. Maybe we'll force them to go along, see how well they can actually, if we get our matchups right, how good will they be if we actually try and nullify them? As I said, maybe Barry Heffernan or Ronan Maher on Paddy, or on Gerard Hegarty. You know, if they don't have that long ball there, they need someone athletic, obviously, in Tom Mercy, because his runs are phenomenal. I'd be probably leaning to you, Willie. I wouldn't think that would be the right way for Tipperary to go at all.
Okay, let's finish up. Paddy, briefly, who do you think's going to win it?
My heart says Tip, but look, Limerick, I think, are in the driver's seat. And no, I don't try and come on and just pick a team for the sake of it, even if it's Tip. I've often backed again. I think they'll find it difficult. So I think a good performance by Tip, but it's hard to look past Limerick. And hopefully, just maybe they might, Tip might keep it into them for a long time.
Brian?
Last year I predicted Tipperary, myself and Cheddar both did, and
you did, yeah.
Lambasted it. And I'll gladly take your advice this time, Willie, and go on Limerick.
you'll never make that mistake of getting schooled by me the following week again, Brian. I'm only going one way as well, and that's Limerick. But I agree with Paddy, if Tipperary have a good performance, I think it'd be something definitely to build on, but it's hard to see them beating them. Right, boys, we'll come back in part three and we'll look at the other three games. Okay, so Dublin Kilkenny is the other big one in Croke Park. This is on Saturday night at 7:30. Paddy, the obvious thing to say about Kilkenny is we know they don't do complacency, but if they were a team that did complacency, they wouldn't be complacent after seeing the Dublin performance, against Galway. That could really kickstart Dublin. But then again, you look at Kilkenny and go, there's no way they'll just walk into a Leinster final. We know exactly what we're going to get from Kilkenny.
Yeah, exactly. You couldn't see him really being as sleepwalking in like Galway, you'd probably say they sleepwalked in or whatever. They weren't fully awake anyway for what Dublin were bringing, and Dublin brought some serious, serious aggression and intent in what they were doing. They knew their game plan, and that I would have been critical about that during the league. I didn't think they knew exactly what they were doing on the field, but it was a lot more fluid the last couple of days. Kilkenny can't be complacent, because they haven't got to where they want to since they won their last All-Ireland, was it 2015 or whenever it was. So they haven't got to those heights. So they are ravenous now, in fairness. And, it's very obvious from the Wexford match, they are playing for each other. They know they haven't won. They want to get back to the top. And I think it could be a cracker of a game. The only thing I'd say is that I thought that Kilkenny-Wexford game was as intense a game as we've seen for a long, long time. And I thought, for the first time in a few years, Kilkenny forced another good team to play their style. I didn't see Wexford hitting as many long balls in Manny's a year, maybe. And that's from Kilkenny absolutely dogging them and making them play the style they wanted. So look, I think Brian Cody's doing a brilliant job. He's building a panel again. It's the same style he had. Everyone's hungry to be on the team. Nobody's there on reputation. You see Wally Walsh coming on, and you see Donnelly coming on. Both have played in All-Ireland finals for Kilkenny before. Both made a huge difference, and they're ravenous for it. So I think he has the squad fairly porn.
Here's the thing, Brian, that Kilkenny could do on Saturday night is obviously Dublin have... I think when you have a very obvious tactic, that any manager should be thinking, what can I do to disrupt potentially this tactic? I know Kilkenny like to play their own game, but a simple thing, if Burke is going back playing centre-back to leave Liam Rush free, why not play Walter Walsh centre-forward? Kind of force Dublin to make Liam Rush probably have to pick him up then.
Yeah, Yeah, it'll be interesting because Liam Rush, when he just played the normal sweeper role of, say, sweeper centre-back, we call it, you know, against Antrim, Liam McManus caused huge problems for him. You know, got 6 points in play off him. And, you know, Liam was much better the last day, obviously, in that kind of more freer role against Galway. They've maybe showed their hand a bit. Owen O'Donnell, if he's fit, it's going to be a big thing to Dublin. If he's not fit, it's really going to hurt them.
He won't be fit though, Brian. Going off with a hamstring 2 weeks ago.
It's very hard to see at this stage. Yeah. And now the only thing I'll say is Sean Moran will probably come into the game. You know, James Madden might go back into the full back line. Like Sean Moran is a big player. I'd be scratching my head, I suppose, when you're not involved in it. You don't know. Maybe he's not in a rich vein of form or whatever, but you'd be wondering how Sean Moran's not making that team because you know, he's been excellent for Coola and for Dublin over the last number of years. So maybe it just shows the level of talent and actual, you know, form that these Dublin players are in. The full back line are teeth tough. You know, you have Keane O'Callaghan and Paddy Smith. They're so fast. They're so strong. They'd be a nightmare to mark. And, you know, the Kenny forwards are going to really earn their scores from there. But I can't see Walter starting, to go back to your original point. I just can't. No. I think he's going to be in as an impact sub at this stage. Now I know Brian Cody does reward form, but I just don't see it at the moment. I don't think Walter's done enough. Maybe I think he's going to be kept in reserve along with the likes of Killian Buckley and maybe Conor Fogarty. I think he looks at it, he's those big players and they're all still super fit. It's not like they've lost the yard of pace, but I just think he's trusting these younger players and he'll go at them from that perspective. You know, you think. Will Kilkenny be ready for this? It'd be still very hard for Kilkenny to meet the highs, you know, and meet that performance again. Because as Paddy said, that was an unbelievable performance. And I said it earlier in the show, I think Wexford would have beaten a hell of a lot of teams on that day. So it just shows how well Kilkenny had to play and then go into extra time. I think obviously they're fit enough to be okay for this Leinster final, but I just think it'll be very hard to reach those highs again. So I don't see a huge amount in it. Going into this game, I think Dublin obviously are going to be very, very confident going into it. They really trust that they've had two great wins now. You know, you have to remember going into the Antrim game, a lot of people were tipping Antrim.
Yeah.
And they absolutely destroyed them. You know, left it, after 15 minutes, it was maybe tight, but they were still in control. And then they just kicked on. And we're seeing Danny Sutcliffe probably back in the form of his career. We're probably going back to 2013 since we've seen Danny Sutcliffe being so consistent in his performances. And that's a big thing. And, you know, Ronan Hayes inside offers something different. He's been there the last couple of years, but I suppose he hasn't been consistent. Whereas at the moment now, he's offering some great stuff. So, you know, Dublin certainly won't feel like Kenny. They never had. You know, Dublin are extremely confident / cocky type players, and they never fear anyone when they go up against them. So I think they'll relish this. So if Kenny aren't on it, I tell you one thing, they'll be in for a tough day.
They definitely will. Owen O'Donnell, we've mentioned him. I can't see him playing, Paddy. Like, I mean, he is a massive loss because they always have that danger of what Cody likes to do is sticking TJ in full forward for periods in the game.
Yeah, no, he's massive. Like, he's up there with the top fullbacks in the country now. He could even be the top fullback in the country. When you talk about the modern day, and it's never been harder as a fullback or a cornerback to attack the ball. Like, I was always taught, get out in front of your man, read the play, you get to before him, he can't get. It's never been harder because the ball in is just pristine these days. And the corner forwards are so much better to make runs. So from that perspective, he's still able to get out in front. And if he doesn't get out in front, you're still not going by him. So to have that option taken away, that probably says to you, you need to hold a man even deeper. You probably need to hold another defender in or midfielder in to protect. Even though Keane O'Callaghan, brilliant for Coola and Dublin, Paddy Smith has shown, you know, his ability to man mark as well. Still, that's an X factor gone out of defence. And as you said, creating mismatches, when we played against Kilkenny and they had six great forwards, they always maybe put Shefflin on your less experienced person or TJ Reid when he came to that age. And that won't be lost. That definitely won't be lost on Brian Cody. And they're missing a man of stature on the square now. No matter what happens, they don't have a big, strong, fast full back. Might have Keane O'Callaghan put in there.
He's a little bit smaller and he'll do the job. He's not going to have the power of an Owen O'Donnell, and that will not be lost on Cody. And maybe you'll see TJ Reid in there. Maybe Wally Walsh will come on and come in as a full forward, but certainly he'll try and exploit it.
That's definitely it. How do you see Kilkenny approaching it? Because they did mix up the long ball with the short ball the last time, Brian, and a lot of the talk is how they're going away from the long ball. Jeez, I saw them hit loads of long ball. Owen Cody's brilliant in the air. TJ's brilliant in the air. Walter Walsh is excellent in the air. I know the long ball doesn't work against a sweeper, which Dublin will play. But, Wexford, Kilkenny weren't afraid of it the last time.
Yeah, no, I suppose the difference in their long ball was that it wasn't being hit from the full back line, which Kilkenny probably traditionally did. I picture straight away of Paul Murphy, and Jackie Turrell getting the ball out in the corner, teams dropping off them, and the boys just launching it down with snow on top of them.
Yeah.
And Tommy Walsh was always at that as well, and JJ hit it over the shoulder. These are phenomenal hurlers, but they obviously had unbelievable players, did the best of all time, able to win their own ball up front. And as the team didn't stay at those heights, obviously they weren't getting as much joy from going there. What I think they've done differently this year, and they've been building up to this over maybe the last year or two, is they're now playing the ball through the lines in the half-back line, full-back line, so much better until they get it to maybe midfield, their own half-back line, and they're playing a much more measured long ball in. A long, high, diagonal ball. And that's mixing up their styles. It's not always route one, So I think that's the key difference in what Kilkenny are doing right now. It's the fact that they're much less predictable, and it's very hard. Even if you have a sweeper, because Wexford had the sweeper, Kevin Foley maybe saved him a couple of times in terms of the balls that Owen Cody caught, but they were still able to get that more measured high ball in on top of Owen Cody, TJ if he's in there, whatever, Wally, whoever's in there. I guarantee you one thing, if they're playing for Kilkenny, they're able to catch a high ball. That's one given anyway, for sure. But as I said from the outset, I think that's the difference in Kilkenny this year. They're much more measured, they're much less predictable, and they're getting joy from that. And I think that's why they caused so much trouble to Wexford, and that's why I think they're going to cause trouble to a lot of teams this year.
How did Dublin handle the strong points on the Dublin team, Paddy? I'm thinking of obviously Crummy and Sutcliffe on the half forward line, ball winning ability, the size of them, the physicality. I'm thinking Conor Brownlee is a big enough man, might pick up Crummy. Who picks up Sutcliffe? Hugh Lawler looks to be tailor made to be all over Ronan Hayes' back for 70 minutes.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I see Corcoran from Ballyhale is playing wing back the last day, and he's a tall.
Took him off at half time.
He was doing okay. I don't think he was doing anything special, but one thing for sure, they certainly will have some of the earmark for Sutcliffe is doing too much damage would you take Padraig Walsh out of position? But the problem is, Padraig Mannion marked him, and Padraig Mannion is one of the best hurlers in Ireland and couldn't get near him.
Yeah.
Now, I'd say a lot of that down. In fairness to Matty, we criticised Matty Kenny a little. The range of puck outs were brilliant. They were putting them out into space for the likes of Sutcliffe to run onto, because no matter how tall you are or how good a jumper you are, if you have to stand under the puck out, then any good half-back would probably stop you 99% of the time. So I'm not sure exactly who they've put on. They might even say Conor Fogarty, this is the game for you, and in a mark Danny Sutcliffe. So they have options as well. Kilkenny do have good markers at the minute, and they're able for that negativity, and a lot of their players are able to say to him, right, you go and you mark him, and he doesn't touch the ball, you don't touch the ball, and you're going well. But to be honest, I think Danny Sutcliffe will do damage. He's done a lot of damage against Kilkenny before. He certainly won't fear him. And him and Crummy do need to get running with the ball. If they're to break through, if they're to get a foothold, Kilkenny have often struggled against teams who are going to hand pass the ball through the lines and then try and stop them that way. So it'd be very interesting. I do think they have a big chance themselves, but I'm just afraid. The only thing I'm afraid of is Kilkenny just getting enough ball in that they'll get three or four hammer blows of goals. And, they've shown that ability the last day. Owen Cody was very close to having a lot more scored, even though he had a great game. So that's the only thing I fear. But Dublin, look, they're playing well. Crummy and Sutcliffe have to have a good game. Keane Boland is moving well around the field. So they are doing well. But look, it's a tough task. I do think, obviously, Kilkenny are the favourites for it. But Dublin certainly have a chance. And as Brian said at the start, they will not fear Kilkenny in the slightest.
How do you see it going, Brian?
I still think Kilkenny will win it, but I don't think it'll be as straightforward as people maybe might think. Just to go in there one second, I think Paddy Deegan might be the man to come out in Danny Sutcliffe. He has the legs, he's strong in the air, and he's he's very, very strong in general. So they might earmark him and bring in a corner back. We haven't seen Conor Delaney yet this year. Maybe, you know, I don't know if he's had injury problems or whatever, but he's excellent. They have more maybe cornerback options to come in there. I don't think Derek Harkin will start again. No, obviously it could be proved wrong on all this, but that's my view on it. But as I said, I think Kilkenny will do it, but it won't be plain sailing.
Same with you, Paddy?
Yeah, same with me. I think it'll be very, very close. Kilkenny, if Dublin can withstand early doors in terms of high ball barrage and runners through the middle, TJ coming through the middle, whoever, Billy Ryan coming through the middle, then I do think it'll be very, very close and Dublin will really grow in confidence. So I think that first 20 minutes is really important. But I do think at the end of the day, like Kilkenny have a couple of X factors that Dublin don't, and missing Owen O'Donnell, I think they're star men. So look, I'd take Kilkenny.
Yeah, I'll go for the same one again. The other big one is Clare versus Wexford. This is at 1:30. It's on Sky. It's the early game on Sky. Here's the thing I'll throw to you, Brian, is that there's a lot of people are of the agreement that Wexford didn't recover from that heartbreaking loss to Tipperary in the All-Ireland semi-final. And that's what, 2 years ago now. How are they supposed to get over the extra time heartbreaking loss to Kilkenny, which is only 2 weeks ago?
Nah, I don't buy into that at all.
No?
I think there might have been a case of the overthought the All-Ireland semi-final in terms of the puck outs, and you know they got the sweeper wrong in terms of Kevin Foley. I think that was shown in fairness very well in the Sunday game where he sat into the pocket when they had the extra man, as opposed to staying back out on the top of the D. So I think they've learned from that. I think even against Kilkenny in the second half, I thought, you know, when the game was tight, they were still very good at mixing up their puck outs. They weren't as maybe scripted as they seemed to be. And they just ran out of legs. They just ran out of a bench in that second half, or Davey not trusting his bench maybe by bringing on those players in that extra time. So it's just, I can't see them being caught up in this kind of self-pity. I think they're going to be actually super determined after losing the last day. I think there's a huge kick on Wexford. And it's going to be a humdinger, I think, between them and Clare, because, you know, as I said, I think Clare coming into this in a bit of form too. So look, Wexford, I think it's probably their last real throw at the kitchen sink at it.
Yeah.
And they won't want to go out in a whimper like they did last year, because they were just brutal. You know, there was no other way of describing it. And Davey played maybe a dangerous game by throwing the players under the bus after the game. He was very lucky. That was particularly against the Galway, it was. He was very lucky that Lee Chin, you know, one of his co-captains, actually backed Davey in publicly, and maybe did so in the dressing room as well. You know, that could have went either way inside in the dressing room. You know, plenty of teams have thrown the manager out after statements like that. So it's, these Wexford players definitely the core group of Wexford players back Davey to the hilt, and I think they're going to go absolutely all out for this on Saturday, and they won't particularly fear this Clare team. You know, and we know, we talked already about them beating them in the league this year, but I just don't think Clare, while they've been very good, they don't have that fear factor built around them at the moment.
This potentially, Paddy, could be Davey's very last game with Wexford. Like, you couldn't see him going back again if they lose this one. Can you see him changing anything up? Like, I mean, playing Kevin Foley back as a sweeper, look, maybe it's a stupid question. It is giving them John Conlon, which Clare are going to love. Can you see him going away from the sweeper? I know I've been suggesting this for 5 years.
5 years in now. Or hope, maybe two sweepers, but he wouldn't go at none.
But Clare, that tactic, Clare will love that tactic because they get John Conlon completely free.
Yeah, but every team does. Like, he knows that. Like, you play every team, there's going to be one fantastic half back that's going to be left free. You know, you go all the way down to Coleman for Cork, you know, and you say Cork maybe aren't always in the line for All Ireland, but they have a brilliant hurler to play as a sweeper. But they just feel that they have more planned for this style, so they should be able to beat the team that you give the extra man, because they haven't planned as much for it. So I definitely don't see him changing. I did think it's an interesting point, like, how do they get over the last day if they can't get over the tip game? I actually think the opposite now. I think that's the first time they played with the fervour, the enthusiasm, the real adrenaline that they had in 2019 and before that. Like, I don't think this, to me, if I was a Wexford player, if I was David Fitz, I'd be like, yes, we found it, okay, we lost that match, we're disappointed. But yes, we have that thing we had again, that probably something you can't even put a finger on, but we had it. We we taught less, we pulled our backsides less, we were there on the ball, we were there in the break, and we could have beaten Kilkenny. So if I'm from Wexford, I'm actually a bit more buzzing. I'm saying, look, we're actually not too far away from it, because Kilkenny are contenders for All-Ireland. We're there or thereabouts. If we can muster that energy again, then we can definitely beat this Clare team. And I think they can, you know. I thought Clare were good against Tip the last day. I thought they were brilliant the first day out, but I thought Waterford lacked a lot of energy. I thought Tip the last day was tit for tat until that Finn Binnan. So I don't think they'll fear Clare. The only issue I have is more of a tactical one. Do they have somebody to mark Tony Kelly? And
yeah.
I would have always said their cornerbacks probably aren't elite, and it's usually a cornerback you want marking him. So I find that is an issue that I find a little bit difficult to overcome if it does turn into a match that's looser and the passes are able to be spread around.
Well, that's the big one, Paddy, since you brought it up. Like, I mean, last year Tony Kelly played centre-forward, and we know Wexford's tactics is that Matthew O'Hanlon plays as a marking centre-back because they have Kevin Foley, you know, covering that centre-back or sweeping position. So their whole half-back line man-mark. Matthew O'Hanlon doesn't have the pace for Tony Kelly. So can you see Tony Kelly coming back out to centre-forward and having Wexford to be scratching their heads of what to do? Or do you see him now decided on in the full forward line?
I'd say they might do similar as the last 2 days and start him inside, because again, they're fine cornerbacks with Wexford, but Tony Kelly is on another level. You're talking about Cathal Barrett had it all to do to keep him quiet the last day, like really, really had it all to do. Caelum Lyons found it really hard to keep him quiet against Waterford, another great player. So I would have him inside starting off, because I'd be saying, look, if we goals win matches, obviously. So if we get a couple of goals and a few points out of Tony Kelly early on, you have a good start. And so you always have the option. When it opens out, like the middle third would be a battleground starting off. So you would think the space would be at a premium out there. Probably the most space he'll get is on the inside starting off. But as the game opens up, as you think players will tire slightly, and we've talked about Wexford probably not having a huge bench to come on and freshen it up, that then you might team out there and taking the pass off the half back line to score over the last 10, maybe 20 minutes. But I'd probably see him inside and see can he do the damage in there.
What do you think, Brian?
I'd actually disagree. I actually probably see him coming out centre forward or even midfield. I just think there's going to be no space inside at all, because obviously Kevin Foley will be nullifying that threat inside. And I think Clare have to get Tony Kelly into the game. You know, in that first half, you know, they started him against Tipperary. They started him full forward. Now, I know Ian Galvin did the damage when he was in there, but Tony never really touched the ball. Now, Cathal Barrett didn't either, but they never really got him onto the ball. He went out to centre forward. He got on a couple of balls out around the middle third, but maybe his impact on the game wasn't anywhere near what Clare would have wanted. He scored a wonder pint on the sideline, and then obviously they got a bit of luck for the goal. Huge bravery from... I think it was David Reid or Ian Galvin. I can't even remember at this stage myself. We were debating it ourselves, and he finished the goal brilliantly. But his influence second half then was you know, not what we'd expect from Tony Kelly. And I think because of that, Clare, you know, until late in the game, really didn't have much say in that second half. I know there's other reasons for that, but I just think Tony Kelly has to be in the heart of everything that Clare do, and he has to be on as much ball as possible. So I would be maybe the opposite of Paddy. I'd bring him out to the middle third and get him on as much ball as possible. He's well used to being man marked. They might try maybe someone like Sean Murphy on him that maybe has the legs. I know he's been on him before. But Tony Kelly won't be fazed about who he's marking either. I'd agree with you, Willie, though. I don't think Matthew Hannon would be the man for him. I don't think he'd have the legs for him. Tony would absolutely love that. So it's a strange one. You know, it's I think it's something you want to talk about as well. Like Shane O'Donnell, no sign of him yet.
No.
You know, for a man that suffered concussion, you would have thought, okay, that's a couple of weeks maybe and he's going to be back. But there's no sight or sound of him unless they're going to put a rabbit from the hat on Saturday.
Well, he could. Obviously, we talked about before the last game that if he played inside with Shanahan, you know, Tony Kelly could go back out, but he didn't appear again. We'll get predictions on this one. Paddy, you first. This is the hardest call of the weekend, easily, lads. This is like 50-50. Take your pick.
Mm. Look, it's over and back, and it could go either way. I just think Wexford had the harder game the last day. I think Wexford are playing better than they have played in a couple of years. So I just about I go at Wexford, but look, it's very hard to tell. I just think Clare actually, you know, as much as you say they were wrong by the Sinbin last day, I didn't think they were blowing the world away before that either, and Tip were on their first day out. So I thought they would blow him away in the first half to an extent. So, look, I'll go at Wexford. If they meet half the intensity that they did the last day, it might be something very new that Clare haven't experienced this year.
Yeah, well, I'll go with Clare just to make Brian's prediction that little bit more exciting, just in case he went for Wexford as well. I think Wexford won't be over that heartbreaking loss in 2 weeks. I will struggle to get up for this one, physically maybe and emotionally. Brian, you've got the casting vote now.
Thanks for this one, Willie. I will go with Wexford, actually. I think very similar along Paddy's lines. I think their intensity, if they meet that again, I just think it's all or nothing for this group of players, and I think they're going to be mad up for it, especially with this little kind of Clare thing that's going on as well, because they beat them in championship last year. I think if they get their matchup right, if they can nullify Tony Kelly to some extent, I think it's impossible to stop him completely. I think we saw that the last day against Tipperary, but if they can nullify him to some extent, I just don't know if Clare will have enough up the other end. You know, Aaron Shanahan is very dangerous, but he probably doesn't score enough if it would be some bit critical of him. And you know, if they have a sweeper back in there as well, you know, it's going to make it even harder for the likes of Aaron Shanahan to find that room to try and shoot. So they'll need huge games from other players. You know, the likes of David Reedy will have to have a much more of a bearing on the scoreboard as well. Ian Galvin won 2 the last day, but probably his threat was nullified when he came out around the middle third. So yeah, I just see it that Wexford have more, even though it's a knockout game, I just see that they have more maybe riding on it as a group of players, and I think they'll do it.
Okay, good stuff. The other game is Laois and Waterford's in Nolan Park at 2 o'clock on Saturday. I'm fairly sure. I didn't write down the day here, lads. Very hard to see past the Waterford win. They probably will win. Laois obviously very impressive against Antrim. They were beating them well until they went down to 13 men. They'd obviously Ross King sent off and then had a sin bin as well, and Antrim made a bit of a comeback. So we know how good Antrim are going, Paddy. So, like, I mean, you know, if another team is beating Antrim fairly well, you know, you'd say, I don't know, you'd say like this is normal for one of the bigger teams, whereas, you know, Laois did it. I think Laois have a lot to build on from that result. What I would be worried about Laois is, not worried about them, but how they approach the Waterford game, I suppose, Paddy, because the way they approach the Wexford game, I'm sure Cheddar will put his hands up and say that didn't work. You know, they went very defensive, fell off puck outs, went all back into their own half. You know, I appreciate Cheddar trying things. You know, I respect him for trying things, but I think he'll learn maybe that's probably not the way to go.
Probably not, but I think first and foremost you'll have to look at Waterford and what they're good at. And if you looked at Waterford against Clare, you'd say conceding the puck out or maybe to the full-back line isn't the worst, because although Waterford are very good and they'll run the ball, they're probably not the best stick passers out of their full-back line. So I actually wouldn't be too surprised to see him concede it to a certain degree, but certainly he can't do it to the half-back line. But they will need more of the same. Like, look, I watched the Antrim match, and while they took their chances very well, Paddy Purcell was well on top. I would turn and look at that match and say Antrim made an awful lot of sort of minimally forced mistakes, where at Liam McCarthy level you shouldn't be making those right. errors. And of course, missed the penalty when they were a few pints down. Then Laois go up and score the goal, and it's a pint to maybe have a 4-point swing, and then they get the goal, it's all over, which was on the counter-attack. So if I was Antrim, I'd be bitterly disappointed with that game, because they had, with 20 minutes to go, there was 4 points in it and they had a gale force win. They had a penalty in that time as well. So while Laois played well in spurts, they took advantage of the win in the first half, played well in the last 7 or 8 minutes when they got the goal. There was huge issues in the middle of that match. So I still look, I see what, you know, Cheddar is saying, and that, you know, maybe they're being put down a little bit. But to me, it was still an inconsistent performance last year, so they will have it all to do.
What can you see happening here, Brian? Like, I mean, last year, Laois lost badly to Dublin and then had a very, very good performance against Clare in the qualifiers in Nolan Park. And, you know, go into the next year, you know, with a lot of confidence. You know, managers have changed since. Obviously, Cheddar would love something to build on here, right? You know, to be able to go into next year with more of a clean slate, have the players more, have the injuries, you know, they just need a good performance here and something that they can potentially build on.
Yeah, I think you kind of touched on it. If they're more positive, I think they can have a right cut off this Waterford team. You know, you go down through individually, particularly in their forward line, they have some very good forwards. You know, you have Paddy Purcell playing up there, Charlie Dwyer, maybe not getting enough scoring wise from Charlie Dwyer. He's an unbelievable hard worker, but he's capable of shooting 4 or 5 points, no bother. He certainly gets enough possession to do that. you know, you've PJ Scully, who's playing really well, hitting the frees well, taking the sidelines, you know, doing well. Willie Dunphy's obviously experienced up there as well. You've Kieran Collier, who probably a lot of people outside the Leash might know, but he's an excellent club hurler for Camrose as well. So he's an excellent forward. So there's certainly a forwards, and I think I'd agree with Paddy. There's probably no harm in giving up the short puck outs to this Waterford team, because we know what Waterford are going to do. They're going to try and get the ball to their half midfield half forwards, and they're just going to run at them. They're going to run, and that's where Waterford probably, you have to be critical of them over the last year and a half, in that they run down a lot of blind alleys. You know, Limerick just said, right, run away there, lads, down Ireland last year, because we're just going to shut you down. If Waterford actually took their point scoring opportunities more often, they could really trouble teams, because they are breaking the line time and time again, no matter who they play against. It was the same against Clare a couple of weeks ago, the amount of times they broke the line, but poor decision making, running down blind alleys, poor shot selection, running into trouble and getting overturned. That's where Waterford are naive, and if they could actually tighten that up and stop trying to run everything too far, you know, break the line, take your shot when it's on, I think they could trouble more teams. So Waterford are flaky enough coming into this, because they were really hurt, I think, against this Clare defeat. I think they thought naively that they were going to take Clare, and Clare obviously they beat them in the battle first and foremost. Waterford were outworked, they were outfought. You know, when you've seen Shane Bennett turn around, throwing it up to a lad, into a lad after 10 minutes, you know, to Rory Hayes, and looking out to the referee for frees, you know, if you see any team looking to the referee for frees, look, we've all been guilty of it down through the years, but when you do that, we all know, lads, you're bet, you know, you're not on it. When you're on it, you don't even know there's a referee there. You just, if you give away a free, you don't get free, you just carry on regardless. So if Leash are more positive and they actually go at this Waterford team, I think they could really trouble them, and they could make it really, really difficult for Waterford. But we will see if there's anything in this Waterford team. And I know they had a positive year last year getting to the All-Ireland. They troubled probably Limerick most in that Munster final, but they still didn't win anything. And, you know, that performance against Clare wasn't anywhere near the standards that you'd expect of a Liam Cahill team. So if there's anything in this Waterford team, I think they have to go out and beat Leash fairly comprehensively. Now, when I say comprehensively, I'm talking about 7-8 points. I'm not talking about hammering them, you know, because don't underestimate this Leash team, as I said at the outset.
Okay, right, lads. We'll probably all go for Waterford there. So, like, I mean, I won't get predictions on it. Last one is the Joe McDonagh Cup game. It's at 5 o'clock on Saturday. Like, I mean, whoever wins this, lads, we'll all be delighted for them, because Westmead lost the first two Joe McDonagh Cup finals, and then Kerry lost last year. Kerry kind of qualified after in weird circumstances. They lost to Meath, and they ended up with the exact same score difference as Down. And because they scored more goals, they qualified for the final. Westmead are in much better form this year. I was talking to Tommy Doyle on the show last weekend, and he was trying to explain, or last week, and he was trying to explain Westmead's form last year. And they didn't stay in touch with each other at all during the lockdown. They just kind of, you know, they just didn't have any Zoom calls. They didn't get talk as a group. And then they went and played the club championship, and they knocked lumps out of each other. And then they came back 2 weeks later in with the county, and it was all over the place. And they had a terrible Joe McDonagh Cup last year. So I don't know, lads. You know, Westmead for me, I'd imagine, in this one, Paddy.
Yeah, well, you'll be going to form, especially in the Joe McDonagh, because teams are building and building. I think it's very hard to just turn up on the day if you're not playing well and play well as a team. But very interesting that not staying in touch and how much it can change the year after. Team spirit, like, you know, yeah, in any team, I'd say it's as important as any tactic or any strength and conditioning. If you play for each other, if you get, not that you have to be best friends, but respect each other, get on okay, but you're fighting for each other for the one cause. And look at Tommy Doyle went and was speaking about that last day. And I think if they have built up that momentum, then they can carry it through in the McDonagh.
Yeah. Brian, prediction on this one?
Yeah, I'd probably go with Westmead too, just on the simple premise that they won the last day, even though it was tight against Kildare and Derek McNicholas came good at the very end. It's a little bit all over the place in Kerry, you know, like, you know, they beat Down, but then, like, Down had to travel to them. And then when they travel up to Meath, they didn't perform well, and Meath deservedly beat them. So, you know, Kerry, they don't seem to be at the height of what they were at over the last couple of years. And yet they find themselves in a Joe McDonagh final. It's kind of it's a strange setup in the Joe McDonagh this year, in that it was two groups of three. You would nearly have said that The other group was the strongest in terms of Carlow and Westmead and Kildare. But it is what it is. Kerry then can't lift a gift horse in the mouth because they're back in the final. Surely to God, they're hurting after last year. And there should be a kick in them. And then Shane Conway, they're one of the best forwards in the game. But, you know, Mikey Boyle, a good hurler too. Shane Nolan, very good as well. So Kerry have the tools to do it. But I just don't know if their form has been good enough because they weren't good in the league either. And I know you'll say Westmead were beaten in every and beaten comprehensively in almost every game apart from Waterford League. But they were playing at such a higher standard. You would think being exposed to that higher standard, while it might have been demoralising at times, that they should be more in tune to maybe playing in a knockout or probably a championship final in Croke Park on Saturday. And for that reason, I'll probably go with Westmead.
Yeah, okay, three Westmeads, lads. Thanks very much. That was a long show today. We'll be back on Monday and we'll review all the weekend's action. So we'll talk to you all then. Good luck.
No such thing as a media ban. We don't have a media ban.
Ah, you do?
No, we don't.
A donkey is Eden and a donkey is a palace.
He was massive. Legs, ass, built. But I burst out laughing watching him.